Hey, this is Mike Zwick from If Not For God podcast. Our show, Stories of Hopelessness Turned Into Hope. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it. Share it. But most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Get ready. It's one of America's most important, influential, and respected voices on cultural and political issues. An apologist, Christian political advocate, and author. Here is the founder and chairman of the Citizens for America Foundation, Dr. Chris Hughes.
Hello and welcome to Christian Perspective. It's Family Friday, and of course, every Friday we have the wonderful Connie Albers with us as a co-host, and I look forward to these days so much because Connie does a wonderful job of addressing issues that we face in our families each and every day. And you know, we all have issues in our family, and that's why I love talking to Connie. Before we get started, I want to thank the Citizens for America Foundation for sponsoring this show. If you want to learn more about what's going on in the culture, whether it's with a family or issues that are before the legislature across the nation and even in your individual states, or how you can develop a biblical worldview, go to citizensforamericafoundation.com. That's citizensforamericafoundation.com, and sign up to get our newsletters and updates. We've got a lot of great webinars coming up. I'm taking a group to Washington, D.C. in just a couple of weeks. If you'd like to go learn more about the Christian heritage of our nation, I'd love to have you join us. And then in December, we're going to Israel on December 26th for it's basically 10 days, and we'll walk in the footsteps of Jesus. It's purposely planned during the Christmas break before your kids go back to school so the whole family can go. I sure would love to have you come with me, so I hope you'll take a look at that at citizensforamericafoundation.com, where you can learn more about these trips and events that we have coming up across the country. And I also want to thank our host location of Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary for being the gracious host to the Christian Perspective Studios. If you're looking for a great Christian education, I encourage you to visit mabts.edu. That's mabts.edu, which stands for Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary. They got a great new program in apologetics where you can learn what you believe, why you believe it, and how to defend your faith. So visit mabts.edu. Well, Connie, there's so much going on, and hey, before we get into this, because I haven't had a chance to talk to you, so we're going to do this for the whole world. You're now, at this point, about a couple of weeks into being a grandmother, and I know for months you would get me so excited every time we talk because you were so looking forward to it, and it seemed like that rascal would never get here, and now you're a grandmother, and you're about a couple of weeks into it. How's it going?
Oh, my goodness. You'd get me started, and that'll be the whole show, Chris.
That's all right.
He's adorable. You could gobble him up. He's so cute, and it is just delightful. You know, it's interesting because now I'm looking at this child with a greater sense of I've got to do more. I've always been engaged, as you know, on the fight and fighting for families and trying to do what I can, you know, in my race, in my lane, doing what I can do. Oh my goodness, but just looking at that precious, innocent little face that is trusting his parents and those around him to protect him and help him to feel safe and secure. And frankly, right now, that's weighing on parents' hearts. You know, what's my kid going to face? What is it going to be like? How are we going to live in a society where you don't even know what to say anymore about anything? So it's got me fired up because I am a grandmother, but fired up because there's more we need to do, Chris. And that's what we're doing at the Christian Perspective. It's what we're doing when we're out on the road and we're hosting events and we're speaking all over the place. And that's sticking that hand out, stretching it back for those folks coming behind us saying, what do I do? Where's the guidebook? Where's the roadmap? Where's the five simple steps and the six easy lessons? And we're able to say, here, we'll help you. Here's some tools and tips, not tactics and hacks and simple strategies, but really things you can use from God's word and from years of wisdom and actually living. There's much to be said, in my opinion, Chris, about traveling down the road and being able to look and say, you know, if you go left here or if you go right, you might hit a dead end. You might wish you would have turned the other way or just gone straight. So It's the most amazing thing, but it has certainly made me even more aware of the need for what we're doing.
So I'm just going to be curious to see. I know you say there's a more of a need, but I'm going to be curious to see if you curb back that unreal speaking schedule. I thought I traveled a lot. You're worse than me. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, just I don't know how you keep going. You're like the Energizer Bunny. But now that you're grandma, I'm going to be curious to see if you stay home more, if you're, but you also have this burning desire in your heart to help other parents and grandparents. I'm going to be watching to see how that works out. And I can't wait. Well, Connie, as we go into summer, you know, a lot of families, school is now out, I think, for most places across the country. And as we look at summer, we got to readjust now. The kids are finally going back to school after COVID, and we had to deal with all that. And now they're going to be home and away from their friends. How do we fight to keep our families together this summer as the kids are coming back home from school?
You know, that's a great question. I did a segment recently for a news outlet, and we were talking about different activities that families can do. And Chris, it made me think about you and your daughter, because your daughter's getting actually ready to go off, and most families, their kids are coming back. So, I mean, some are sending off, some are coming back, but you were a great example with you and your daughter. You went hiking, you were intentional and purposeful about spending quality time with her, going hiking, doing activities that she enjoyed. Tell us what you did as you were preparing in some ways for your daughter to go off. And the reason I twisted it like that, Chris, is because I want you to emphasize the intentionality of what you did.
Yeah, so, I mean, the same would be even if she was staying here. But in my case, you know, and if y'all listen to the show enough, you know that Holman is already out of high school. She's gone to college and got her master's degree, and she's getting ready to join the military. And I'm big on memories. I mean, Vicky and I, I don't know, four or five years before they graduated from high school, kind of shifted instead of buying things like at Christmas and our holidays, Connie, we wanted to create memories. I wanted our kids to have happy memories of growing up. And I mean, like all families, certainly there were times in our families where, you know, there was transition, particularly because Vicky was in the Air Force. The kids had to move. You know, I think they went to 10 or more schools as they were growing up, and we didn't want their memories of their life together to be, you know, bad. And so when my daughter entered high school, we moved to one place, and Vicky retired from the Air Force, and I shifted my work where we could be in one place where they wouldn't have to move anymore. And we just wanted to do things to create memories together and try to do fun things together. So like you're saying, and for the past couple of weeks, because she just graduated from school and is only home for, you know, about 2.5 weeks before she goes to her military service. So I wanted to try to pick some of the things that used to be our thing. And every week when she was in high school, Connie, we would on Saturdays go to the local farmers market. And this was something that wasn't Daddy's time with Mom. It wasn't Daddy's time with Christian. This was something that just she and I did. And she really looked forward to it. And it took me a while to figure that out. Yes, because I'm so slow, Connie. But I finally realized that was something that she liked doing. And then another thing that we used to do when she was in high school was we live right off the Blue Ridge Parkway. So there are hiking trails everywhere, and there are waterfalls and a lot of neat things to do just outside. And so we would go on a regular basis, you know, as I said, probably 2 or 3 times a week, where we would go on a hike. There's a place that we called it our meadow, where we'd sneak through somebody's cow pasture and get to this other place up on kind of a ridge on top of a mountain. And somebody years ago, you know, probably somebody had a house there or something at one time, you know, 100 years ago, but they had cleared an area off up on top of this hill. And so there's grass, you know, about waist high, because I'm short, you know, knee high for the rest of y'all, but waist high for me. And there's just this area where you can have, you know, we can have a picnic or just put a blanket down or take one of the dogs. And that was just always our special thing. So that was our thing that we would do. Well, we haven't done it in ages. And so yesterday, Connie, she came upstairs and said, "Hey, you want to go on a hike?" Well, this fat boy is out. I about died yesterday, Connie. I know that's not what you wanted to hear. But she didn't say, "Let's go to the meadow." No, there's this place called the Boone Fork Trail that's named after Daniel Boone. It's off the Blue Ridge Parkway. It's a 5-mile hike. Now, it's not just like walking 5 miles along a park. It was crossing rivers and streams and climbing up and down these rock ledges. I'm hurting today, Connie, but I wouldn't trade it for anything, because memories happen when you go do things like that? And I mean, you don't have to go hike on a mountain where our listeners are, but what are things that are special between you and your kids? And because of what I know, so hopefully she won't listen to this and figure out my strategy is, you know, I know she's stressed because she's fixing to go into officer training school in the Air Force, and she's scared about what's going to happen. She's anxious about, you know, going to medical school in the fall. I know that these things have been bothering her, but she hasn't really talked about it. But when we get away, about 30 minutes into one of these hikes, she loosens up and then she starts to talk. And, you know, so that's good because I want her to have the opportunity to ask me questions. And I'm trying. I'm not always as good as I should be, Connie, about keeping my mouth shut. But I'm trying to learn as my kids get older to not offer advice unless it's asked, and then, you know, try to be careful to help guide them, you know, let them still be decision makers and learn how to make decisions. But they're just, you know, whether it's the farmer's market or going hiking or road trips to different places. A few weeks ago, I went to visit her before she graduated, and she was going to school in Baltimore, and not far away is, I don't know if you've ever been to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. One of my favorite places in the world. There's a big Amish community there. And if you are listening and you don't know, the Amish people don't use electricity and they don't use cars. They ride horse and buggy or bicycles, and, you know, kind of like it was maybe 200 years ago. And so I took her there and try to create memories. And I do this a lot in summer. I mean, other people, I think, are critical sometimes of the things that we do. And it's a little more difficult now because gas is more expensive. But every summer, I make a list. And as you said, being intentional about doing things is I'll do wherever we're going to be based. And again, we're different because, you know, kids are going to school different places. So I might have to go visit where they are, or Vicki and I will. But I'll do searches. So, for example, when Holman was in Baltimore, I would search on Google, which anybody can do, free day trips from Baltimore. So I didn't have the money, like maybe some of our other listeners, to maybe spend the night somewhere. But there are a lot of places, Connie, that you can go that are absolutely free and within an hour or two of where you live. I think about, like, in Florida where you live, there's so many cool places in Florida that the average person never thinks about going. There are a lot of freshwater springs, for example, like a Wikiwachi spring. But, you know, in this day of electronics and stuff, a lot of kids have never, for example, entered in a river. You'll listen to Christian Perspective at Family Friday with Connie Albers, and I hope you'll stick around and be right back with me.
This show is brought to you by Generous Joe's, the coffee company with the Christian perspective. This is the answer that Christians and conservatives have been looking for. A coffee company that gives back to causes you care about. Order your coffee today at shopgenerousjoes.org and even subscribe to a subscription coffee plan and never forget the coffee you love or the causes you care about.
Walk in the footsteps of Jesus and see the Bible come to life. This December, join nationally syndicated radio host and founder of the Citizens for America Foundation, Dr. Chris Hughes, on a life-changing trip to Israel. It's one of the world's oldest and most fascinating travel destinations, luring the faithful from all over the world for thousands of years. Visit Jerusalem's religious quarters and explore Christianity's most treasured religious sites, like the Wailing Wall, the Dome of the Rock, and the Via Dolorosa. Walk with Chris through the winding alleyways of Nazareth's Old City and visit ancient Bethlehem, the place of our Savior's birth. Float in the Dead Sea, visit the Sea of Galilee, and the Jewish fortress of Masada. See firsthand where the events of the Bible took place. Touring Israel with Dr. Chris Hughes is a travel odyssey like no other. Visit CitizensForAmericaFoundation.com and get ready for an unforgettable trip and memories that will last a lifetime.
Do you desire to build family relationships that stand the test of time? Does creating a godly family seem like a daunting challenge? You're not alone. I'm Connie Albers, author of Parenting Beyond the Rules and host of Equipped to Be. As a mother of five, I understand your struggles. For 35 years, I have been helping families just like yours build lasting relationships. I'd like to invite you to tune in to Equipped to Be and visit ConnieAlbers.com, where I share useful tips and proven strategies to help you navigate the seasons of motherhood, faith, and life with confidence and joy.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Don't shoot until you see the whites of their eyes was the order given this day, June 17, 1775, by Colonel William Prescott to the Colonial troops defending Bunker Hill. They were aiming at the wall of 2,300 British soldiers marching toward them from the Boston Harbor in their bright red uniforms with bayonets fixed. Twice the Americans repelled them till they ran out of gunpowder. Over 1,000 British died and 500 Americans. Colonel Prescott wrote, "Let us all be of one heart and stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Welcome back to the Christian Perspective. I'm Chris Hughes, and Connie Alberts is here with me. It's Family Friday, and I got too talkative. I think Connie hates that when I get to go.
Oh, I love it. Our listeners love it, too.
Sharing stories. But we're talking about summer and things that you can do with your family to help keep everybody together. And so, parents, I would encourage you to try to be intentional and put a little thought into things that you want to do this summer. I was sharing before the break that every summer I make a list. It's harder now because my kids are all going to be gone here in a couple of weeks as they get older, you know, and they start to move away. But as I shared with Connie, I want to create memories and times when they can look back and remember that we did fun things as a family and just give them a chance to, you know, be alone with me and share and talk things in with Vicki as well. And so I look for things to do every summer, and I just Google like day trips from where we are, and you would be amazed. Now, I live in a cool place in the mountains, so there's, you know, 100 hikes that I could do, and there's waterfalls all over within a couple of hours, or trout fishing, or we were talking about inner tubing before the break. And y'all, no matter where you live, I guarantee you there are some really cool and off-the-wall things that you can do. Connie, did you and Tom do those kind of things in the summer?
Yeah, actually, I just recapping for your listeners, those points are spot on. The first thing that you do when you're getting ready to enter your holiday, your summer or your holiday season breaks, is you schedule daily activities. You know, your kids are away, so it's a little harder for you. Ours are all really close to us here in the city that we live in. So they're all, somebody's popping in our house all the time. But when the kids are younger, and you said, look, create defining moments. Those defining moments become lasting memories. And you were talking about, I want to make memories with my kids. Well, if we're not intentional, then you know what happens? We get busy. The tyranny of the urgent, so to speak. But you need to schedule some daily activities that fit the needs within your budget, your time, and your location. So when we start out to do that, Chris, I always encourage parents, get your kids involved. You made a comment, you know, you and Hellman, you went hiking, but that your son, that's not his thing so much. If you have a large family like I do, change it up a little bit. Some kids love the outdoors. Some kids love board games. Some kids love water. Some kids love hiking. They all don't like the same things, but we're talking about building a family and learning that we're going to defer. This time, we're going to do this. Next week or next Saturday or Wednesday, we're going to do this, and we'll do it as a family. Or in your case, if your children are, it's harder to get with them, you say, you know what, every Tuesday, we're going to go for a walk. We're going to go get ice cream. We're going to go shopping for a little bit of time. But you want to schedule activities. There's something that happens to our children, Chris, when they know that something is being planned. It gives them something to look forward to instead of spur of the moment, which some kids don't like spur of the moment. They're your planners. They're your organizers. They want to know what's coming. And for them, honestly, the expectation of how fun it's going to be is better than the actual day, because that lead up to the event is what they get excited about.
Hey, have you been following us around?
I know, right? I think I know you.
That's our family. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
And yet others are, hey, fly by the seat of the pants. We don't have anything scheduled tonight. Let's go see Maverick. Or let's go see you know, a movie or, you know, go have ice cream or do something like that. But it lets your kids know what's coming. And it also lets them feel valued and that they have worth, that you're taking time to ask them and include them in what the family is going to do. There's a bond that happens, and that's beyond, that bond is even in addition to the intentionality of creating defining moments. So those are super important, and you got to be thoughtful about it. You know, you've got to keep your kids' ages, their interests, their ability. Like you were talking about hiking. Well, you know, how maybe you didn't need to worry about Halman's her condition, but she was probably worried about you. Okay, how much farther can I take Dad before he croaks?
Well, and we were stuck. I mean, once we were committed and about 2 miles into it, and I am always very, very, the one time I broke my rule, because I've tried to teach that we kids to always be prepared. So for all these years, I've always carried like a backpack or something. I'd have like a raincoat and a hat and, you know, water and food. I didn't take anything yesterday, and 2 miles into the 5 mile in the middle of the woods, and there was no, I mean, you were committed one way or the other at that point. It started pouring down rain.
Uh-huh.
So this creates more memories. Hey, so I've got some things. I don't know that you really want to go here. You want me to share some? I was just writing down some ideas of things families could do this summer.
Well, sure. I wrote down, do puzzles together.
You go ahead with yours. Ooh,
okay, well, I wrote down, do puzzles together. You know, on those rainy days where you can't get out, or those super hot days, because I'm down in Florida, do puzzles. Do go on a scavenger hunt in your own yard. Pick things or in your neighborhood and go on a scavenger hunt. Do, which is probably you're going to love, do some cooking activities. Chris, you're an amazing cook. And how do we pass that wonderful skills and talents that we have along? Well, we do that in the summer when we have more time. We can do neighborhood game days or put on a play for the neighbors and invite them to come along and be part of our family and get to know them and let them get to know you a little bit. What do you have on your list?
I'm writing more because you're giving me ideas. So when you're talking about neighborhood, we live on a cul-de-sac, but we used to do, and we haven't done this in years, so we might need to do this. Every summer, we would invite everybody on our street to come down, and we would just cook hot dogs and just to get to know your neighbors. I bet a lot of people don't really know the neighbors or the people on the street. An old-fashioned street party might be something fun for people to do. You mentioned cooking. So this is something, again, my son's not that into it, although as he's gotten older, now that he's got to cook for himself, he's more interested in learning how to cook. But something Holman and I do, she loves watching the Food Network. And there's a show called Chopped. I don't know if you've ever seen it, Connie, where basically these aspiring young chefs come in and they're given a basket of really weird ingredients. And they have to use those ingredients to cook different dishes. So something Holman likes to do is we'll get Mom and Christian. So even though Christian doesn't like to cook, he likes being involved in making it difficult. So they, on Chopped, they come up with like ingredients that you wouldn't use normally, or you know, take this frozen TV dinner and turn it into some kind of gourmet meal or whatever. And it doesn't have to be expensive. I mean, I'm just using that as an example. Mm-hmm. But so you could have the family come up with some weird ingredient, and then you go to Walmart and buy it and have a cooking night. I'm swallowing even thinking about this, where you cook things. It's just a lot of what we do is centered around food. Another thing we do, fun with food, and a lot of people out there listening, Connie, have these, I guess you call it a flat griddle. You know how it's a flat thing you have on the countertop, you plug it in, and you can make pancakes and stuff on it?
Mm-hmm.
So a pastor friend of ours years ago when we lived in Hawaii invited us over to dinner. And we did this with the kids periodically when they were in high school, and they loved it. We love going to Japanese steakhouse, but sometimes that can be expensive, and you can't afford to go to a Japanese steakhouse. So what these missionaries did for us, they invited us over, and they had one of those flat griddles, and they had a little bowl with like raw onions or cut up zucchini or yellow squash, and maybe a bowl with shrimp or pork or chicken, you know, whatever you can afford, different kinds of meats and different kinds of vegetables. And they set it in the middle of the table. We used to do with the kids. So we'd have these bowls of ingredients, and everybody could cook on that flat iron thing on the table what they wanted to eat. So it was like having your own Japanese steakhouse at home, but much, much cheaper because we used ingredients that we could afford. Yeah, and I stole that from missionaries, so that's something fun. You know, just about everybody listening, Connie, can have a bonfire at their home. And so I'm going to share the secret, and we're going to have to take a commercial break. I don't know. So this is something you can do with your family. Did y'all ever do bonfires when you were growing up, Connie, or with your kids?
Weekly.
Okay. So, you know, you can do s'mores. Everybody does s'mores. Or I love grilling hot dogs, and part of what I do with the kids is I would make them, you know, because with my daughter, you know, she wants everything clean. But, no, we would go pick a stick. You know, we'd go to the woods and pick a stick, and I'd teach them how to carve a little point on the stick, and she would have to cook it on her stick. But here's something that I bet most listeners have never done, and then we'll take a commercial break, is, you know, the little smokies that you can buy? They're like miniature sausages. They call them little smokies at the grocery store. You know, there might be 2 inches long little sausages that you get like at cocktails. Okay, buy some of those, and then buy a package of canned biscuits. And then if you go like to Lowe's or Home Depot, they have what's called dowels, which is just a long stick. Now, again, the redneck in me is like, just go pick a stick out of the yard. But maybe some of y'all are very sanitized and clean that are listening, and you want to use something different than a stick in the yard. You can go for, you know, less than a dollar probably and buy a dowel, is what it's called, which is a long stick at your home improvement store. You build a bonfire in your backyard. Of course, you use safety. And Connie, what you do is you take a canned biscuit out of the container and you wrap the biscuit around the end of that stick and you cook the biscuit over the fire and it'll cook.
Oh,
okay.
It does.
And when
that's a great idea.
And so then when you cook the stick over the fire, you pull it off the stick, and then now you have a biscuit that is cooked with a hole in it. And you take that little smoky sausage and you stick it in the hole. You eat.
Mm-hmm.
Kids love it. Kids love it. All right, we got to take
and they're not all sugar
break.
High.
Yeah, that's right. Y'all, we got to take another commercial break. Stick around. Be right back before Christmas.
The United States of America has a strong Christian heritage, but most Americans don't know the truly important role that God and the Bible played in the founding of this great nation. This June, join nationally syndicated radio host and founder of the Citizens for America Foundation, Dr. Chris Hughes, for 4 amazing days in our nation's capital. With Chris, you'll embark on a journey of discovering the hidden secrets of Washington, D.C., and rediscover much of America's forgotten Christian heritage. Your tour will include an up-close and personal look at the nation's establishment and how it's evolved over the centuries. Learn about the government and the men who helped forge this new kind of republic, one that acknowledged the Creator from its very inception. Know the truth about the creation of the United States of America, about the faith of the Founding Fathers, and how Christian principles were used to establish this form of government. Visit CitizensForAmericaFoundation.com today and secure your spot to join Chris Hughes in Washington, D.C. this June.
This show is brought to you by Generous Joe's, the coffee company with the Christian perspective. This is the answer that Christians and conservatives have been looking for. A coffee company that gives back to causes you care about. Order your coffee today at shopgenerousjoes.org and even subscribe to a subscription coffee plan and never forget the coffee you love or the causes you care about.
The Conservative Baptist Network is a dynamic movement of Southern Baptist pastors, churches, and Christians committed to standing for the sufficiency of God's Word in the face of a culture of compromise. The passion and prayer of the Conservative Baptist Network is that God would help Southern Baptists stay bold for the gospel so that we might see revival in America and the world reached for Christ. Visit our website today at conservativebaptistnetwork.com to learn how you and your church can join and support this exciting movement.
Welcome back to the Christian Perspectives, Chris Hughes. Connie Albers is with me today, and Connie's going to hate me because she got me talking about food and hiking, and I have dominated the conversation. and we need to give it back to her. But we're talking about things to do this summer, Connie, and what we can do to keep our family together. What are some other things that you'd recommend that we do this summer to build memories and to help our family grow closer?
You know, it's funny. When our kids were all growing up, one of the things we did is we bought a boat, and some friends of ours bought a boat. You know, kids love to be with their friends. They love to be, they're relational. I mean, Chris, we're relational. That's the way God made us to be. So we got a boat. Some of our friends got boats, and we would go every single weekend or a few nights during the week after work. We would go out on a lake. I live in Florida, so there's lots of lakes to choose from. And we would just go tubing, or the kids would learn to ski or wakeboard. It didn't have to be long. Now, that was back when prices weren't so expensive with gasoline. But my point in doing that was, it was something our kids really started to look forward to. No one wanted their devices. One, they would get wet and ruined. And two, they'd miss out on the fun of their turn being in the water, or multiple kids being on a big old float in the water and making those memories. Of course, we want whatever it is we do, Chris, we want to make it fun. It may not be side-splitting, but we want to make it fun. Everything's not a life application. Everything isn't a teaching opportunity, although we want to make them that, Chris. And I know you want to. You know, you want to point out all the things that we can teach our kids through this activity. We need to step back from that during these particular activities, unless our kids invite us in to those private thoughts they're having, their fears, or maybe their dreams. And when you're hiking like you and Hallman were, or you're out on the boat, or we're on a bike ride, we love very long bike rides as a family. And of course, when you have seven people on a bike, that's its own little tour right there. So we had our own bicycling thing. But they have shared experiences, and it's those shared experiences that they remember and they talk about. And now when our kids get together, there is not a time we get together that partly they're making fun of me, you know, oh yeah, remember that time mom did blah, or yeah, remember that time when we were out and we got downpoured on, or remember that time. Even the mishaps, the glitches, the not perfect moments, those are memory makers. They're the things they laugh about and talk about. And you know, Chris, I there's a poem I always share when I'm speaking, and it talks about a grown-up son, and it's a great reminder that the season we're living in is a short one, as you know. If you think about your kids from the first year, birth to, say, 4 years, they really don't have memory of much. I mean, they don't know anything, and all they know is they're hungry, they're tired, just like my little grandbaby. He's tired, he's hungry, he needs a nap, or he needs his diaper changed. I mean, there's not a whole lot that's going on besides he's growing and forming and shaping. And that continues for the first several years. And then when they hit like 15, 16, well, they should be working, you know, going to school, doing part-time work, summer jobs, and you don't have as much time with them. So, Chris, we really only have, like, say, 4 to 14, 4 to 15. That's 11 years. 11 years where we have, that's 11 summers. And when we think about, wow, that's only 11 summers, that's 3 months. 3 months of 11. I mean, that's all we have. And then it gets more difficult to be with our children and make those memories. So that was always my point and purpose, is I wanted our kids to experience FOMO, fear of missing out. When they heard that the Albers were getting together, nobody wanted to miss it because it was bound to be eventful, whether it was a fun event or a fun event gone awry that turned out to be funny after everything was fixed. But whatever it was, we wanted, when we said, hey, like now the kids are all grown, but we have Taco Tuesday. There's a Mexican restaurant we love to go to. And we just say 6:30, you know, this restaurant, show up if you can. Everybody will alter their schedule to get there because we did the work going into the season. When they were little, the boating, the hiking, the going to the beach, the taking camping trips and RVing, you know, we rented an RV and traveled the country one summer. We spent the summer doing that. It was magnificent. Our kids still talk about it. So we want to be intentional and make a schedule, Chris. We want to make it fun. We want to encourage that thoughtful playtime of being explorers and adventurers and risk takers. And we want to remember that when we give them those times, those activities, those are our opportunity to reinforce the life skills we've been teaching them through bookwork. So we know they've been learning certain things through school. We're going to take a break and see how that's applied to real life. You know, they read about something, you go see it, like when your family was in Hawaii. You know, they've been there, I've seen a volcano, I've seen North Shore, I've seen all that. Those are some of my thoughts.
And those memories will stick with them forever. You know, like you said, your kids still get together. They're adults, and they get together, I bet, on Tuesday nights, and y'all still talk about those things that y'all did as a family and had fun. So, folks, if you're listening, I just encourage you to put some thought, as Connie said in the beginning of the show, to be intentional. It doesn't have to be expensive. I know that times are rough normally, and certainly right now with the price of gas and food. There's so many things that you can do that are fun and cheap. You don't have to even go anywhere. You can create, particularly with younger kids, you can create adventures in your own home. You mentioned, my mind's going blank, Connie. You talked about scavenger hunts. That's the word I'm looking for, scavenger hunts that you can do in your yard. Absolutely free. I know one time years ago, my son Christian loved pirates. Like, I don't know if you remember the old, now I'm just brain dead. When you get old, this happens. The Captain Jack series, Jack Sparrow, who was on Disney, and he loved Captain Jack. So I know one time, I don't remember what it was, I hid something in the yard and created a treasure map. And, you know, they would, you have to find this one thing to find a clue to something else. And things like that are absolutely free. Another thing that you can do, Connie, is like Hobby Lobby or Michael's, the different craft stores. We have a Hobby Lobby where I live, and I love them just because they're such a strong Christian company. And, you know, their family are the ones who founded the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. So I love supporting them and helping them. But Hobby Lobby in our store, and I bet if you have one in your area, one, they're not that expensive anyway. And if you watch, there's a rhythm where they have certain things on sale on a regular basis. But in our store back in the back, they have a clearance area where they're just about giving stuff away. And with my teenagers, I didn't know how this was going to go over. So when it's an off-season like now, a while back I found little like plaster nativity sets for like $1 or something. I mean, there were these little tiny little figurines, and they had a little watercolor paint set, I guess. Yeah, it was watercolor with it. So I bought four of those for our family. And at first I got just a tad of pushback in the beginning, but I put newspapers down over the table and said, okay, after supper, we're going to do something. We had a craft time where everybody had to paint their nativity set. And so that forced us to be together for about an hour. And, and even though the teenagers balked at it in the beginning, later on, they started to enjoy it. And now, you know, at Christmas, they want to see their nativity sets out. You know, Christian made his, I'll just say his was unique and different. But I think he did that to see if I would push back on him. But little memories, there are things, like you're saying, that don't cost much, where we want to be intentional and try to create memories with our family and find fun times. And even if both parents are working, like you said, we don't have much time, Connie. We've got to find a time to carve out time, to be intentional with that time, to schedule things. And it's funny, and I'm fixing up to take another commercial break here. You talked a while ago about scheduling. My daughter, Holman, wants everything scheduled. And she looks forward, as you said, to the anticipation for weeks. She wants to know where we're going, when we're going, and it's almost to a fault. Christian, on the other hand, he doesn't want, he's like, don't send me a calendar invite. I don't want to know what's on the calendar. I don't want to hear about the calendar. Just tell me where we're going, and we're going. So two different kids, which makes it really difficult. So for Holman, I mean, if we don't do something that I said we were going to do, she has difficulty with that. And he, on the other hand, he doesn't want to do anything that's pre-scheduled. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Connie, we're talking more about summer. And so I'm going to let you give us some more specific things as we close out in this final segment of things that we can do to keep our families together this summer. Folks, stick around. Be more with the Christian Perspective after this moment.
A brand is a design, name, symbol, or any other feature that sets an organization or individual apart. Bringing that brand to life can be difficult, but Diggs Design is here to help you take that next step or re-energize your current situation.
We can handle logos, social media graphics, cards, weddings, clothings, prints, photo editing, and much more. Give us a call today at 704-984-2432 or connect with Diggs Design on social media.
In a world crowded with viewpoints and voices.
Critical condition after a
I believe the message of this.
Financial problem.
Only one voice matters. God's. At the College at Mid-America and Mid-America Seminary, we equip leaders to think from a biblical worldview. Online or on our Memphis campus. Check out the College at Mid-America and Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary at mabts.edu and be equipped to light the way.
This show is brought to you by Generous Joe's, the coffee company with the Christian perspective. This is the answer that Christians and conservatives have been looking for. A coffee company that gives back to causes you care about. Order your coffee today at shopgenerousjoes.org and even subscribe to a subscription coffee plan and never forget the coffee you love or the causes you care about.
Do you desire to build family relationships that stand the test of time? Does creating a godly family seem like a daunting challenge? You're not alone. I'm Connie Albers, author of Parenting Beyond the Rules and host of Equipped to Be. As a mother of five, I understand your struggles. For 35 years, I have been helping families just like yours build lasting relationships. I'd like to invite you to tune in to Equipped to Be and visit ConnieAlbers.com, where I share useful tips and proven strategies to help you navigate the seasons of motherhood, faith, and life with confidence and joy.
The United States of America has a strong Christian heritage, but most Americans don't know the truly important role that God and the Bible played in the founding of this great nation. This June, join nationally syndicated radio host and founder of the Citizens for America Foundation, Dr. Chris Hughes, for 4 amazing days in our nation's capital. With Chris, you'll embark on a journey of discovering the hidden secrets of Washington, D.C., and rediscover much of America's forgotten Christian heritage. Your tour will include an up-close and personal look at the nation's establishment and how it's evolved over the centuries. Learn about the government and the men who helped forge this new kind of republic, one that acknowledged the Creator from its very inception. Know the truth about the creation of the United States of America, about the faith of the founding fathers, and how Christian principles were used to establish this form of government. Visit citizensforamericafoundation.com today and secure your spot to join Chris Hughes in Washington, D.C. this June.
Welcome back to the Christian Perspective. I'm Chris Hughes. Connie Alberts is here with me today like she is every Friday. And Connie just gives us great ideas of things that we can do to build our family unit and gives us great parenting and grandparenting advice. And today we're just having kind of a simple, fun conversation because we've now entered the summer season and, you know, our kids have been away to school. Some of them are still going to be working this summer. And we're talking about things that we can do to keep our families together this summer. Connie, what are some of the things that you and Tom, because I know y'all both worked, what were some of the things that y'all did to try to intentionally create memories when your kids were younger?
Well, like I said, we did bike rides. We would just hop on the bike and we would go for miles and miles. If there were little ones, they'd be in the car, you know, on the little bike seat and I'd be toting one and Tom would be toting another. We were mission-minded, meaning we wanted to bring our neighbor kids to be part of our family. We wanted to be able to love on them. We wanted to be able to show them, you know, what our family stood for and what our values were about. And unfortunately, a lot of families don't want kids at their house. They break things. They're messy. They eat you out of house and home. And so we would just open our home and in the evenings we would have neighborhood kickball tournaments and we would have basketball competitions in the street. And, you know, we'd have the kids be on different teams because all the neighbors wanted to be there. Again, we are trying to build a relationship with our kids, and one of the best ways is to include their friends in that journey. We would, and we would study, like you said earlier in the segment, you live in the mountains, and you know, you can just, all these day trips, spend an hour, go through whatever small museum they have that talks about their city, what's unique. And here's some things, parents, if you haven't thought about it, but what industry is grown? You know, what are they famous for? What happened? Why are they on the map even? Why do they exist? I live in a little city in Central Florida, and there's a really big lake. It's called Lake Apopka, and it was one of the largest, most famous bass fishing lakes in the country, in the Eastern Seaboard. It was remarkable for bass fishing, and it's where all the celebrities and dignitaries would come to my little city, and they would go bass fishing. Well, in the 70s and 80s, the agriculture department, government was actually paying the farmers to grow, but it inadvertently caused some destruction to the lake from runoff from the farm. Well, that has just become, this is like a real micro example of something in your neighborhood, in your community that costs you nothing, but you can fuel a passion and an interest within your own children. And just for our family, it became, you know, talk about Friends of Lake Apopka. What are they doing? How are they restoring the lake? Is the lake coming back? And the kids would learn about the fish. They'd learn about the gators. They'd learn about the ecosystem and how we do have to be a good steward of our land. There's so many things that we do and that you can do if you're in Denver or you're in Arkansas or Oklahoma or Kansas. What is unique to your state? And then go deeper than that, not just your state, but your county and then your city and then your neighborhood. Find out what makes it special. Chris, that doesn't cost anything. And you know what else? Your kids will then start talking about it as they get older and they can go deeper and learn even more about your city. And they start to feel like there's ownership. I'm actually a citizen. And it makes me think about Citizens for America. We want to instill in our children that they're not just passerbyers. They're not just consumers. It's not all fun. Fun can be mixed into learning and understanding that they matter, that our kids are going to grow up and they need to understand their heritage, their family legacy. They need to understand that I have a say and what I do does matter, and teaching them to have a awareness of the footprint. I don't know if that makes sense, but we're a very intentional family, and whatever it is that we're doing, we want them to see more to it than just the superficial.
Yeah, I think those are all great ideas. I love how you talked about museums and learning about your community, because that does make your children want to be more engaged and take ownership. Every community, Connie, just about has some type of museum. They might not even call it a museum. There might be a museum within a building. I visited a church in Tennessee, Trade, Tennessee, this past weekend, which was just a small little community, and they meet in an old school. And I just wandered down the hall between Sunday school and church. And I never knew that was there and wouldn't have known had I not walked down the hall. But inside that building, they had this little museum in there. And they had the history of the people that had founded that community. And every community, like you say, has something like that. I love how your kids were involved with the lake. I'm in another aspect of my life, I'm involved with soil and water conservation. So I was cringing when you're talking about, because I work with farmers a lot, you know, how the runoff affected your lake. In every community in the United States, there's a local soil and water conservation district, and they have different activities that your family could partake in. Like y'all were trying to protect your lake. Where I live, we have mountain streams, and there's another organization that has what's called the River Keeper. And I bet if you search in your community, if you have rivers in your community, almost every river in the country has what is called a River Keeper. And that River Keeper puts on activities to, you know, they might tube or kayak down a river once a quarter and pick up all the garbage out of the river. Or they have something called live staking, which I had not heard of until I got involved in this. But as you said, runoff is an issue, but also when storms come, rivers rise and, you know, go up and down with the water. And if there's not a proper structure, like root structure along the riverbank, then it can erode and cause damage in those rivers. And so across the country, there are days where they have live staking days where it's a piece of wood that's about a foot long, but it becomes a tree. And all you do is you kayak down the river, or you go, you know, or you can just walk down the river, and you stick these stakes into the ground, and they will, in a matter of time, become a tree and create a root structure. And that's something fun for the family, because you could say, hey, let's go put some live stakes down the river, and then we'll go swim in them. Or inner tubing, or whatever it may be. You know, another thing, Connie, that we used to do is take a mission trip together. We were trying to teach our kids the importance of serving others and serving Jesus. And so when we could in a summer, we couldn't do it every summer, but a lot of times we would try, and I know a lot of other families that do this, to do, you know, a lot of churches lead summer mission trips. If you can't go somewhere, Connie, a way you can do it, even in your own community, or maybe even at your own church, is Vacation Bible School. I love Vacation Bible School. And in every community, y'all, no matter where you're listening in the country, there are churches that have Vacation Bible Schools. And you as a family, a lot of times Vacation Bible Schools now, or you can find one in your community, are at night. After work, you could go. I mean, it might not be your church. Take your family on a mission trip to a church of another denomination or another church across town, and particularly small churches, Connie, are always looking for help. They might not have enough people in their church, but there might be hundreds of kids that live in their community. And that's a way, without having to go rent a hotel, without having to pay gas to drive to another town, it's something you can do in your community, one, to serve your community, get to know other people in your community, maybe learn about a different faith group or denomination of how they do Vacation Bible School. But it's a way that you and your family can create memories and serve together.
We're just giving you a springboard of ideas. There is so much more.
You know, another thing that we like to do is I love history. And one thing we used to do, and again, I know this is something that costs money, but to save money, Connie, we would camp. And I won't get into all my crazy camping stories, but you can really save a lot of money.
Yeah.
And tents are not that expensive. And, I mean, sometimes it's less than $15 to put a tent up and, you know, find a place that has a shower and a bathroom. When our kids were available, and they're not to do this anymore, is I used to love to go to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And I would encourage everybody to go there at least once. But we would do this the week of the 4th of July. Because that was the week where the battle actually took place. It had nothing to do with celebrating the country's birthday. It just happened that that's when it all took place, when the troops from the South were actually going somewhere else. They did not intend to fight at Gettysburg, and they got spotted as they were trying to sneak through the mountains. Some scouts from the North saw them, and they ended up fighting there. But and the kids used to love this. We would go to Gettysburg. There are battlefields in that area, Connie, where you can camp on actual battlefields. And so this was probably not being a good daddy. You know, at night I would sit around the fire and tell spooky stories of things that happened on the campground. But in that town, what was neat about it, why I like to go there, they reenact some of the battles. so our kids could go learn history and see the battles. But the coolest thing is around town, they would actually camp like the soldiers would at that time. And so, like, you know, my daughter Holman wants to be a physician. Well, one of the cool things she looked forward to every year is there was the battlefield surgeon, and he would have his surgeon's tent set up, and he would show the tools that, you know, the surgeons used at that time. Christian Love, they had, you know, surveyors that would plot out different things or make maps of where they were going to battle. But there are reenactors for the Revolutionary War that do events all over the country. I know we went one time in Ohio. There's something called Fair at New Boston, and it was a battle from the Revolutionary War. Where I live here in the mountains, Daniel Boone, who was a famous character and a real part of history, came through our area, and they have plays that they put on where that happens. In the Outer Banks of North Carolina, there's a play that talks about the lost colony and remember the people that disappeared as part of the ships went back to England in the first colonization of our country. And there are things like that, Connie, all over the country that people can participate in and have their families partake in.
You need to be intentional, make a schedule, include your kids, make it fun, encourage that thoughtful playfulness. Like we have talked about, it doesn't have to be expensive for it to be meaningful or to create a memory. Ask your kids and get excited. Get excited about what you can do. This summer, it's only going to be for a few weeks, and then it's back to the grind of school. So make it fun. And just remember, you're creating defining moments. Every time you make that decision to do that next activity, great or small, your kids are going to appreciate it, and they'll talk about it for years and years to come.
Folks, thanks for joining us today. You want to hear more from Connie. It's a great input every week. Join us every Friday for Family Fridays. And every Wednesday, she releases a new podcast. Go to ConnieAlbers.com and be sure to sign up and download her podcast every Wednesday. Now, let's go impact the culture with Jesus.
Thank you for listening. The Christian Perspective with Chris Hughes. Learn more about impacting the culture for Jesus.
Visit citizensforamericafoundation.com.
This is the Truth Network.